Hello, it's Friday, September 8th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. It's Friday, heading into the weekend. We've got everybody's tuning in. This is going to be our last broadcast before the 5th anniversary of 9/11. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first of all, we'd like to extend a big thank you to Dr. Hesham Talawi, who hosts Current Issues TV. Lisa and myself appeared on that show last night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. It was also co-hosted by Dr. Frederick Tobin from Australia, who was at the American Free Press Conference last weekend in Washington, D.C. And the first hour, these two gentlemen spoke about the Holocaust. And then in the second hour, we brought in 9/11, Israel's involvement, the controlled demolition, and so forth. And then Dr. Tobin also interjected the Holocaust into this conversation. And I know that this subject makes a lot of people in the 9/11 truth movement extremely uncomfortable when you talk about 9/11, Israel, the Holocaust, or anything beyond that. But as I told Lisa after the show last night, is the same people that are perpetrating this Holocaust hoax are the same people perpetrating the 9/11 hoax on the American people. It's the same forces at work, and we're not afraid to shy away from that topic, and we're glad that Dr. Talawi is also...
You're not afraid to address the topic, you mean?
Right. Or, yeah, to address that topic. I'm sorry. So we won't shy away from it, and we're glad that Dr. Tobin and Hesham Talawi aren't also. So it was, I thought, a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, they also discussed the nature or the state of free speech in mm-hmm. America and in countries around the world. So it was an interesting conversation they had between the two of them, and we thank them for giving us some time to come on and talk about 9/11, too.
Right, and also I was speaking with a gentleman today from Austria and talking about this free speech issue, and he said, absolutely not. He says, certain topics, and you know what they are, he says, you absolutely aren't allowed to discuss them, and just think of how great it is to be in a country where we still can discuss these subjects. Regrettably, we have so many gatekeepers and so many police, and I'm saying Patriot Police, that say, oh, no, you can't talk about these issues. Even one of the 9/11 truth groups came up with a script and gave it to their group and said, well, this is the way we're going to address this issue. And we still have the right and the privilege to speak about these issues, yet it seems like many people in this movement want to surrender that right and voluntarily say, well, we'll just censor ourselves, just like Big Brother.
You were talking about what happens in 50 years. Are people going to be allowed to talk about the Holocaust? Is it still going to be used as a propaganda tool to extort from countries and different groups and society?
Well, I was likening it to 9/11. I say, what happens if in 10 years or 5 years, nobody in this country is allowed to discuss 9/11, just like they can't discuss the Holocaust in Europe? Is that what we want? If we have this right to free speech, we better damn well use it. And I think that's the main point that came out of that show last night.
Yeah, because you could be living in a place where they don't have that.
Exactly. Now, Ground Zero, the 5th anniversary of 9/11. Lisa and myself are going to be there. People have asked us, well, why haven't you been talking about that? In all honesty, we've been so busy over the past month or so with all the different radio interviews, with the release of 9/11 Evil. It seems like every night all I'm doing is just stuffing envelopes and getting these books ready to go. We traveled to D.C. last weekend. Lisa did 3 different interviews yesterday. And we've just been so busy that even now we still don't know exactly what our plans are.
But we have kept an eye on it, and we know that it has been getting around the Internet. A lot of people have been promoting going to Ground Zero this year compared with last year. So we know that the word has been getting out, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you there.
Yeah. All we can say is we're going to be there. We don't know exactly how, when, why, where, whatever. We're going to be there.
We don't know why.
Well, where, when,
we know
and
why.
How. Yeah, we know why. And I also got a call from one of our viewers right before the show. I believe he lives in Atlanta. And he said to please remind everybody that if they can't make it to Ground Zero, or if they can't make it to Washington, D.C., where there's also going to be rallies, he said urge them to have their own little rally in their hometown.
Or if there's some type of local rally or event that you can attend, please try to do so.
Exactly. And he is sending us the flyer. He's organizing something down there. And we understand that everybody can't travel halfway across the country or the entire way across the country. So if you can't do that, then organize your own little thing. It's the 5th anniversary. This is the biggest one yet.
And we ask you on this 5th anniversary to please do something to stand up for 9/11 truth.
Right. And, you know, this is sending a message. And I know the Loose Change guys are organizing something up there at Ground Zero. I'm not really sure. Some of the New York City truth people are organizing events. We're just going to go up there. People have been contacting. They said, do you want to speak at this? Do you want to do that? And we're just going up there, and we're going to be where we are, and kind of wherever the wind blows us, but we're going to be there. So now we had our latest Wing TV poll, which asked who was ultimately responsible for 9/11, and the specific question asked on August 25th was,
which scenario most accurately reflects your assessment of what happened on the morning of September 11th, 2001?
Now, we gave 5 different options here, and the results are very, very interesting. So, Lisa, why don't you go through them and give the option and then the percentage.
Okay, the first option was, the government's official version of events is 100% true. 0% of you said the government's official version was true.
Now, that doesn't mean every single person in the country believes that. It just means that every single person that responded to this poll, not one person thinks that the government's official version of events is accurate, which I think is a reflection, Lisa, of how much brighter our listening and viewing audience is than the mainstream. So 0%, not even one person, said they believe the government's version.
You'd think that we would have had a useful idiot or two voting for the government.
Not even one person, which I think is definitely a step in the right direction and quite a commentary.
Number two. This is the second option. The government, via incompetence and negligence, let it happen on purpose. We all know that as the acronym LIHOP. 8% of you said it's LIHOP.
8%. So this is one of the theories promoted quite a bit by a lot of the New York City 9/11 truth groups, particularly 9/11truth.org.
They're scattered all over the place. There's 2 different camps, LIHOP and MIHOP, and we've all been through that before.
Yeah, but they basically want to make it appear as if the government was just incompetent, negligent. Oops, they dropped the ball,
and it just happened. These are the same people that subscribe to the coincidence theory.
Right,
too.
Yeah, so it just happened, and, you know, the government, if they could have done anything about it, they would have, but they just kind of let it happen on purpose. And, you know, it's just incompetence. So only 8%. Okay.
The third option was Bush and Cheney were ultimately responsible. 10% of you said Bush and Cheney were responsible.
Now, this is another big one. And how many people in this movement, the 9/11 truth movement, that's the stance they take, that nothing goes beyond Bush and Cheney.
Well, a lot of the prominent people even say that the buck stops at Bush and Cheney.
Yeah.
And some people just scream Cheney.
Yeah, and that's it. It stops right there.
Right.
And to even consider this as being accurate, George Bush, who's barely probably able to tie his shoes, do you think that the powers that be are going to lay this entire scenario in the laps of George Bush and Dick Cheney and it all stops right there? It's preposterous. But still, 10%, one of every 10 people that responded thought that was the...
What if he's not so much a moron, you know, but a clever sociopath, Bush? I mean, I think he's a moron, too. Don't get me wrong.
Well, here's my... I just read an article the other day. We posted it on the Wing TV page, and it was something like, is George Bush nuts? Is he crazy? And then all these different psychiatrists and psychologists given their assessment of George Bush. And you know what it is? Is they're carefully playing this to make it seem as if Bush is either this evil psychopath, which I'm sure he is, or this incompetent, bumbling fool. But while everybody's focusing all their attention on Bush, 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 the real players behind the scenes are the ones orchestrating everything, yet especially with a lot of the Democrats, they're like, oh, well, George Bush is this rampant lunatic, or George Bush is such a bumbling idiot, which he fits both bills. But George Bush isn't making the decisions.
Right.
He's making none of these important decisions. He's barely able to even give a speech anymore.
I was reading a response to a 9/11 conspiracy theorist article that came out on MSNBC today or yesterday. And the person that was responding made an interesting observation about Bush. She said, what made her not, or him, not trust Bush was the look in Bush's eyes on 9/11, you know, that famous look where Andy Card is whispering in his ear. And this person said it was like Bush just suddenly, it dawned on him at that moment that something that he had agreed to long ago that he hadn't taken seriously, that he just suddenly realized these people he agreed to do this whole 9/11 thing with or allowed to happen really meant
yeah.
it and were serious about it.
You know, that's always...
And he was expected to play along.
Yeah. When I was at the AFP conference last week, I was talking to someone, and they said, well, I don't even think Bush knew about it beforehand. And I said, I disagree with you. I said, I think he was aware that something was going to happen, and that the powers that be kept him far enough removed from the action that they said, George, something's going to happen here in the near future, and when it happens, you're going to know about it.
But you're going to have to, you know, play the role.
Yeah, and play the role. And when there was that famous picture of Andrew Card whispering in Bush's ear at the Booker Elementary School in Florida, you're right, Lisa, is that's when it dawned on him that, holy shit, it's coming down.
Like they really meant it. They
yeah.
were serious, and now I'm expected to go along. Like, I don't know. It just seems like a plausible look. It's yeah. an interesting expression on his face.
And I think what happened afterwards then was he had a meltdown. That's why they had to escort him away and they had to keep him up in the air for so long, is that I don't think he was able to handle it at that moment, to come out and adequately deal with this situation. So they had to keep him basically incognito for a while.
We will likely never know.
Yeah. And, you know, that look, too, is he realized what he's dealing with now. These neocons, these Israel firsters, these lunatics that he has surrounding him, we're serious about this, and that look says it all. So I think I'm glad you brought that up.
Option number four, getting back to the poll, was a small cabal of Zionists inside our government, as well as the nation of Israel, were ultimately responsible for 9/11. 79% of you out there agree with this option.
79%. Almost 8 of every 10 respondents thought that Israel... And this small band of Israel firsters called the neocons were responsible. Almost 8 of every 10. Now, here's the thing that I think all of you have to start asking yourself. Why aren't more people in this alternative media and the 9/11 truth movement addressing this issue? 8 of 10, Lisa, said that. Why aren't they addressing it? These big names absolutely refuse to discuss Israel's role. There's very few that
it's
will
not,
come out and talk about
it's
it.
It's not on the script.
Yeah, and it amazes me, especially when you go back into one of our previous polls where we asked who is the most dangerous nation in the Middle East. That, again, was an overwhelming response to Israel. The people that are tuning into Wing TV right now know who the enemy is. They know who the most dangerous force in the world is, and they know who is behind 9/11. They're the people that have read 9/11 Evil. They're the people that knew even before that book came out.
But I think it's
who
important
is responsible.
To say that the United States, the cabal that's within the United States, is also guilty. It's not just Israel.
Right.
It's not all of Israel. It's not all of the Jewish people. But they have a power elite there, just like we do here.
But I'm saying this cabal within the United States is Israel firsters. Their loyalty isn't to America. It's more to the Zionists, and it's also to the Zionist agenda or New World Order that they've created.
Right. But you know, Victor, I know what you're saying, but there's a lot of people out there who will twist stuff around or don't get it. So we always have to try to be very clear about that.
But anyway, option number four, 79%. And that's what's called an overwhelming response. That's a landslide.
Yeah, I would say that's the majority, definitely. Okay, option number five was miscellaneous. People who attribute 9/11 to Satan, an occult right. 3% of you out there think along those lines.
Right. Now, we didn't even make that option available, but some people who responded...
just put different choices.
They didn't consider the first four accurate, and they thought it was some kind of occult rite or occult ritual, which, you know, as we bring up in 9/11 evil, there is that symbolism and numerology involved.
This is the first time I'm even seeing these results, because I haven't even looked at it until you put it in my hand.
And, you know, other people said it was Satan, and that's reminiscent of, you remember that hoax picture?
Oh, right.
Before, or right after 9/11, where he saw the devil's face coming out.
Out of the smoke.
Out of the smoke. In all honesty, that's what I wanted for the cover of 9/11 Evil, originally, was that picture. But when we started getting into the artwork, that we weren't able to use it adequately enough. And I'm glad now, because the new cover's even better.
I think your cover's not
too shabby. Oh, I think it's even better like this. So, anyway, we want to thank everybody who responded to this poll. The results are very, very obvious.
We really appreciate the feedback every week or so when we put out these polls. So we urge you to, you know, keep checking in. We're going to have new polls and as often as we can, and we're always interested in what you have to say.
Right. And also, there is a new poll up right now. I'm not even sure when we're going to have the results, but it basically goes along this lines. Of all the individuals in the mainstream media, the authors, commentators, newscasters, pundits, and talk show hosts, which one do you feel is the absolute worst one? And you can take that however you want to.
Brother.
And I listed,
we
I believe...
We can only pick one?
Well, if you want to list a couple, that's fine too, but...
One network?
Yeah. Well, I listed 45 different individuals, okay? And then at the bottom, there's a thing that says other, because certainly we couldn't list all of
you
them.
You know what I put? All of the above in other.
Yeah, but that's our latest poll. We'll have the results in a couple weeks. But I think it's something that intrigues me, because who is the worst one out there in the mainstream
media?
It's
so hard to choose.
Yeah, and
they
like
all suck so bad.
Yeah, there's 45 of them listed. So take a look at it. Let us know what you think. And... you know, we'll post the results in a
couple
of weeks.
That'll be a funny one.
Yeah, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Last but not least, now this is going to be the last show we do until Tuesday, because we're going to be in New York City on Monday. But as we said yesterday, there's a lot of newcomers to this movement who, because the word is getting out so much, they contact us and say, well, you know, we've read a couple articles, we've tuned into Wing TV, what are the best videos, what are the best books about 9/11? So what we're doing today, since the 5th anniversary is on Monday, we figured anybody that needs to catch up on this, that wants to be up to speed, or if they just want to fill in a few of the holes, these are, in our opinion, the 17 best books and DVDs out there.
You don't have one book on there that I'm going to say, and I think it is a very stellar book, and I hope I'll add mine after you finish all yours.
Okay, well, here we go. Why don't you start? And these aren't in any particular order. It's just kind of how we wrote them down, and we're going to give a little bit of commentary on each one.
Okay, number one, Victor Thorne's 9/11 Evil.
Now, you contacted me yesterday, Lisa, and
I
said...
contacted you?
Yeah, you sent me an email and said... that this book made it onto a certain list, a certain website yesterday.
Yeah, Victor now has a badge of honor because the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, actually included the title of this book in their new press release. It's an article that they posted September 7th, and you can all see it, and I guess they're doing some bashing, whether sincere, genuine, or faked. On their new press release, but they didn't mention Victor's name, just the title of the book.
And what they're saying is 9/11 conspiracy theories won't die.
Right.
Yeah. So 9/11 Evil, and we want to thank everybody again. The response to this book has been the best ever of anything we've ever published here. So
yeah. Okay, number two, American Free Press, Debunking 9/11.
This is a collection of not only writers for the American Free Press, but also quite a number of individuals not directly associated with the American Free Press, including John Kaminsky, Don DeGrand Prix, Ellen Mariani, William Rodriguez, quite a number. Oh, Eric Huffschmidt is in that book. So it's very, very good. It's the best anthology, I believe, on 9/11 and we're glad to be included in it. I think I have two articles in it, and they did a very good job on it.
Number 3, Jim Mars with Inside Job.
Yeah. Now, regrettably, this book is no longer in print.
Really?
No, I just found that out because I wanted to order some more, and I called straight to the publisher, and they said the book's no longer in print. So
wow.
There's used copies out there still.
Right.
But I know we carried it ever since it was published, and it's just a fantastic book. We've interviewed Jim
a
number
of
times.
That's a shame.
Well, there's good news is when we get to the bottom of the list.
Okay.
But
number 4, George Humphrey's 9/11, The Great Illusion.
Right. We just got a new shipment of these in. And
that's been a constant.
Right.
People have wanted that from the get-go.
Yeah. And I'll say, I think it might be the best DVD out there about 9/11.
Really?
That's arguable, but I remember the first time we saw it, we were blown away. And George, he's been on this show before, and he also has some chapbooks, a 3 series
Correct.
Of chapbooks on this subject.
Common Sense.
Yeah, the Common Sense chapbooks, and we just think he did a fantastic job with it.
Number 5, Eric Hufschmidt with Painful Questions.
Now, everybody knows over the past couple of months that we're not the biggest fans of Eric Hufschmidt.
Really?
Even remotely. But to show how fair we are, we have to admit that he put out one hell of a book.
Right.
And when we put out 9/11 on trial, we referenced Painful Questions quite a bit. And not only is it a book that has a lot of good information, but the color pictures inside are the best out there. There's no other book that has the layout like this book and the color photography. So even though we don't particularly like Eric Hufschmidt anymore, we're still including his book because it is part of this whole 9/11 collection that is valuable. And
I wouldn't say just not like Eric Hufschmidt anymore.
We don't trust him.
He's not putting out good work. And
right.
No, we absolutely don't trust him, and we don't trust his buddy Daryl. Okay.
Correct.
Where am I? Oh, number 6, Victor Thorne's 9/11 on Trial.
The first book dedicated solely to the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers. And, you know, Lisa, that book came out in February 2005. Right now, it seems almost accepted by everybody in this movement that the towers came down via controlled demolition.
Well, we remember a time when we couldn't get anybody to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody except Eric Hufschmidt. And it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
We had to go on so many shows just to get this topic brought out into the light. I can't even count how many times we had to talk about this, and we just kept pushing the issue.
Yeah.
Eric Hufschmidt did, too. And finally, now look at it.
Yeah.
It's like a normal, everyday thing. People talk about it without batting an eye, but wasn't always that way.
And, Lisa, do you remember the first interview, the very first interview we did after 9/11 on Trial came out? It was on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Right.
And
Duke Skolrich.
Duke Skolrich. And I don't know if we contacted them, if they contacted us, but they said, send a copy of the book. We did so. And they lined up the interview. And
no interview has ever been more intense
right.
than that one.
And they admitted to us. They said, before they got the book, they said, we don't buy this at all.
Yeah, they're liberals.
But we're still willing to interview you. Well, they got the book, they read it.
And they asked us some good questions, and they were very skeptical, and
but
their callers were too.
But they said after reading that book that they were absolutely turned around in their thinking because the book is so convincing. And we talked about it yesterday. We sent a copy of this book to Popular Mechanics and told them, if you can refute this book credibly, we'll take it off the market and make a public apology and never sell it again. Haven't heard a word about it from them, which I think is another badge of honor.
Right. Okay. We are up to number 7, David Ray Griffin's The New Pearl Harbor.
A great book.
What is there to say about that book? It's awesome. It's excellent. It's tremendous. And everybody should read it.
Yeah. We've interviewed David a couple times. He gave a nice blurb for 9/11 on Trial. And we had a chance to meet him last year in Washington, D.C. at the Truth Convergence.
Where's his other book? You don't have his other book on here. Oh, okay.
Right there. And he lent quite a bit of credibility and weight to the movement when he came out. He was the first really big name outside of the 9/11 movement that came in and said, you know what? We need to re-examine this because the government's official story doesn't
add up. He also lends a rational presentation to the information
right.
to the public. He always does a really good job when he's interviewed by the media. Okay, John Kaminsky was number 8 with The Day America Died.
Right, this is a little chapbook that we published. It was the first chapbook that we published from Sisyphus Press in our Common Sense series. And it's only 48 pages long, but it packs a wallop, and John did a hell of
that
a job with it.
That was the first one, right?
First one we published.
Boy, did that set off a domino effect, because we have a lot of chapbooks now.
Exactly.
Okay, number 9, Anthony Hilder's 9/11, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold.
Right, we have these DVDs on order right now. They should be in any day now. I know we have some back orders for them, but I think in the beginning of this DVD, it has some of the best footage ever of the World Trade Center towers, and some real good commentary, too. Anthony certainly doesn't walk in lockstep with anybody.
No, it's not a very good DVD. But you know what? That's what makes these things so interesting. Right. They're all so different. Okay, number 10, you have Phantom Flight 93 here. That's me and Victor and Visigoth.
Right. This is still, to date, the only book about Flight 93, the only book in existence.
Well, you can count Lisa Beamer's book about, if you want to take that.
We're not talking about fairy tales. We're talking about legitimate books. And it's amazing that after 5 years, there's only one book out about Flight 93.
Yeah, that's kind of incredible.
And what we do in this book is we prove that not only didn't Flight 93 not crash in Shanksville in this abandoned strip mine, but that a missile was shot there to create a diversion from where the plane really came down.
At the very least, I think that we lay out a very good case for that scenario. Number 11, Jim Marr's The War on Freedom.
Regrettably, this book also is out of print. And this
Are you kidding me?
No, that one's out of print, too. And that book is the predecessor for his one that currently came out a couple weeks ago. And the story behind this book was that he landed a publishing deal with a big-name publisher. I can't remember. Who was it, Lisa? I can't remember.
But he
signed the contract. He got the advance. And right before the book was ready to go to press, it passed, or it went through all the legal channels. It was okayed. Finally, the president of this publishing house put the red stamp on it and said, no, no, no. They paid Jim.
Something about references to Bush or something?
Yeah, well, it was a major publishing house. They paid Jim the rest of his advance, what it was owed to him, and just said, go along your way. And this book now really is what became not only Inside Job, but is his other book that's out now. So Jim has two books on 9/11 that are no longer in print, which is a real shame.
Wow. Well, if you can find some used copies, definitely grab those. Number 12, Don Paul and Jim Hoffman with their very good book, Waking Up from Our Nightmare. I always like that book.
Right. It's a tiny book, thin, but real good color pictures in it. We had a chance to meet Don Paul last year, and we don't see eye to eye with Jim Hoffman on a number of things, including the Pentagon. He believes and promotes the government's official version of events at the Pentagon. But this book doesn't deal with that. It deals with not only the World Trade Center Tower and WTC-7, but also some of the funny money dealings, some of the drug action behind the scenes, and a real good little book that definitely deserves to be on that list.
Okay. Number 13, Dylan Avery, Loose Change.
Without a doubt, the DVD that's been seen by more people than anybody.
Yeah.
And we've seen both versions, 1 and 2, and I guess version 3 is coming out within the next week or
so. This is the one that took off.
Right.
Out of all the ones, this is the one that people latched on to the most.
Exactly.
So, number 14, Webster Tarpley with 9/11 Synthetic Terror.
Right. A book that takes a more intellectual look, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. And Webster's done some very good research over the years. In all honesty, a little bit shaky now with his with the no plane aspect. I don't know how to exactly describe where he stands on that.
Invites him on his show.
Yeah. But he does a good job in synthetic
terror. Well, let's use his words. He doesn't want to defang the no plane hoax.
Right.
And we heard him say that in those words in Alexandria, Virginia, to Professor Fetzer. So you come to your own conclusion.
Right. And also, this was one of the books published in France, along with 9/11 on Trial, and also David Ray Griffin's two books, The New Pearl Harbor, and also,
Where are we? Are
right
we?
Here.
Oh, Omissions and Distortions.
Right.
That is a book everybody needs to get.
Yeah. Now, this book examines the 9/11 Whitewash Committee, and it doesn't just do a brief overview of it. It picks it apart like a wolf on a carcass, bit yeah. by bit, sentence by sentence,
There's
word by word.
There's not even a piece of skin of that 9/11 Commission yeah. report left by the time David Ray Griffin's done with it.
Yeah, and the way I describe this book is you can only read a couple pages at a time because you get so disgusted with what this 9/11 Whitewash Committee did that you have to throw the book down
right.
and come back to it in a day or two because Griffin just destroys this modern-day Warren Commission.
You don't want to read it too fast anyway.
Yeah.
It's material you need to go over carefully because in order to be able to argue your points, you need to be able to raise a lot of the points David Ray Griffin brings up in this book. Number 16, Jim Marrs, The Terror Conspiracy.
Right. This is Jim's newest book, just hot off the presses. And when we interviewed Jim a week or so ago, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, he hadn't even got the pre-copies of this book. So uh-huh. it's out now, fresh off the presses. And not only does it cover the history of the last 5 years of 9/11, but he's bringing in some of the more recent stuff like the Downing Street memos and so forth. So, like, I met somebody down there at the AFP conference in D.C. that said they read through it in one sitting. So, you know, if Jim Marrs is putting it out, we're giving it our stamp of approval.
And there you are again, Victor, 9/11 Exposed.
Right. This was our little chapbook that has the first ever interview with Scott Forbes.
Right. The guy who worked for a fiduciary trust, which was at the World Trade Center Towers, and he told us all about the power down on the weekend prior to 9/11, 2001.
Right. This was the first ever interview with him. Plus, we have chapters in there on the military stand down,
mm-hmm.
all of these different orders that Donald Rumsfeld
right.
signed before 9/11, which facilitated this military standoff. It's a little chapbook, only 48 pages, but very jam-packed with information. And
wait, now it's my
okay.
turn. There's a book that everybody needs to read, especially that 79% of you that voted in the poll.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? That the small cabal of Zionists inside our government, as well as the nation of Israel, were ultimately responsible for 9/11. Everybody should read it, but especially that 79%. It's called Christianity of Zion, and you can click on the Signs of the Times website to read that for free. Or you can email me, and I'll send you the link to read it online for free. And I'm not going to tell you one word about it, but I suggest very strongly that you read it. It's a stellar book. Stellar.
Very good.
And it will explain everything to you in terms of what's going on in our world today, why it is now the way it is.
Yeah. Now, there are some definite books that aren't on this list. Mike Rupert's Crossing the Rubicon, which we think is an atrocious book that's done more damage to the 9/11 truth movement than any good it ever did. One DVD that I can't put on, but I wish I could put half of it on,
what?
Is Dave Von Kleist's In Plain Sight. The Pentagon information is fantastic.
Yeah.
Some of the best out there. But the pod stuff, we can't get behind. We don't stand behind it. And I wish...
It's like a peripheral issue at best. The pod,
right.
The flash. That didn't bring the towers down.
But anyway, right there you have 17 of what we feel are the best books and DVDs. These will fill in the holes. If you know anybody out there that recently saw the light, that said, oh my God, the government's version of events isn't true. Where can I find more information? This is it. This is the cream of the crop right there. And everybody out there, when you talk about truth seekers, these are some of the best there are.
Right. And these are some of the best books that you'll be able to get your hands on. I guess a couple of them you may not be able to get your hands on so easily. But keep seeking knowledge and embracing knowledge because that's the only way we're going to ever have a chance of making change in the world. And it's going to take all of the world to make the change. It's not going to, you know, it's not a few of us that can do it. All of the world needs to work toward this change.
That's right. And if you're in New York City, if you're at Ground Zero, sometime during September 11th, that's Monday, if you're there, come up, say hello to us. We're going to take our banner with us. I know a lot of people already have contacted us saying they're going to be there. So say hello. And as we as I said at the onset of the show, we still don't have our plans formulated. We don't know exactly what we're doing. These last few weeks or this last month has been maybe the busiest we've ever had here at Wing TV. And it's a good busy. It's the kind of busy. I know I was coming back from the post office yesterday. And I said, this is what it's like to be alive. This is what it means to be alive. When you have purpose, when you're going out there, when you're hitting on all cylinders, and you're doing things to try to make the world a better place, this is what it's all about. So when we complain about being busy, it's not really a complaint. This is what we're supposed to be doing in the world. And
we just want everybody to know we're still beating the 9/11 truth drum. We haven't beat it as loudly over the last month or so as we have for years, but we've been quietly beating it, and we're still going to be there. We're still going to be a presence at Ground Zero. We will still stand up for 9/11 truth until the very end. Wherever the chips fall, wherever they land, we urge you all, do something to stand up for 9/11 truth on 9/11. It's the 5th anniversary. It's very, very important, and it's going to take all of us.
That's right. We'll be back on Wing TV on Tuesday. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you at Ground Zero.